session number 16576, Jim Miller, Reel 7.
Cartoon.
Mr. Miller, Reel 7. Now, what were your first impressions of Cartoon then when you got there?
A lot of sand. We even had a football ground at the barracks.
What were the barracks like?
Cartoon. Not much, just like huts, you know. And Cartoon, one part of Cartoon was out of bounds. A strange thing. All the time I was in the barracks, I never went once into Khartoum. Never.
Why
never
not?
I didn't want to. I was quite happy because I only a few more months to do in the army. Not quite happy to just stop in barracks. And, yeah. I had no interest in Khartoum. Some of the lads used to go, but not me. No, I was... Funny that. I can't tell you anything about Khartoum.
Well... What about the service life then? You were just, again, still a storekeeper, weren't you?
Yes, just the same.
No different?
No.
What was the weather like? Because Khartoum's got a fair reputation.
Very dry. Oh, we used to get the sandstorms. I went, oh, my God.
What were the sandstorms like?
Oh, dear. We, on the barrack rooms, we had shutters, wooden shutters, you know, and bars. There was bars and those shutters. As soon as the slams, you know, as soon as the sandstorm coming, everything was shut. And there was every kind of insect and beetle. So the wind used to blow, and the sand used to get underneath the doors, you know, under the floors. Horrible, terrible storms. Oh, I've got some pictures where I'm the sandstorm.
What about the heat?
It was, well... It's about the same as India.
No worse.
No.
Did you see much of the Sudanese?
I mean, yeah.
What did you think of them?
Fuzzy Wuzzies, I used to call them. Oh, yeah. The men used to, dervishes they were. They used to dress in a long gown. Much, you know. I've got a lot of pictures of them, yeah. They were all right, they were no trouble. But we were only there a few months. And I was quite happy just to laze my time away until I got back home.
Do you remember the journey from Khartoum back to England?
Yeah. When we went up the Suez Canal, we were told if there was a Italian troop ship coming down, the Italian soldiers not in the slung oranges or anything at us like that, not to retaliate.
Did you see them? Hmm? Did you see them?
Oh, yeah, they could pass one another.
But, I mean, did you see the Italian troop ship?
Oh, no. That was only a warning, like, if they did.
Didn't you meet the ship carrying the 1st Battalion out? DLI?
No. Now, they went to Tin Sin. Oh, yes, there was another thing when I was in Khartoum. There was a lot of the lads, younger lads, they were shifted to... Tin Sin, Shanghai, Hong Kong, you know, around that way. They had to be clothed out as well. And they were sent out there. Well, the older men, they come back to England.
And the ones near the end of their service?
That's right.
Like yourself?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, anything else about the voyage back?
Well, our helmets, they were all slung overboard. There was rather pith helmets, that was it. All the pith helmets, they were long lines. I wish I'd brought mine home, because they were very good, but you had to throw yours out, because everybody was. Long lines of helmets. Now the Egyptians, you know, they must have had a right haul, you know, all these helmets. And they used to come on the troop ship, doing juggles and that, you know, and selling bananas and all that. But we were told not to buy any, of course. You know, strings of bananas and things. They also allow them on the ship, like, you know. That's when we stopped at Cairo. Then we came home. and went to Woking Barracks. Woking Barracks, I believe it used to be a woman's prison.
So you got back to England in 37, was it? You got back on 10th of November 1937, from the looks of that. And what was the setup in Woking Barracks then? What were those barracks like?
Before it was a prison for women, been took a while, like, you know. And when we got there, the next day, there was Burton's, 50 Bob Taylor's, and they were all there, selling suits, and that's, you know, the lads have got, and some of the lads, you know, they were just picking anything up, being soldiers like, and walking away with it. It was absolutely crowded. They wanted to pay for the stuff. I know. Well, I finished up. I didn't get anything. Oh, I got a trilby hat. That's all I had. Trilby hat. Oh, and a pair of shoes. I had a pair of shoes.
Because you weren't due for discharge. You had about another 2 months to go, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
2 or 3 months.
Yeah, yeah.
What were you doing at Woking then? Were you on the stores?
No, I'd hand it over then.
So what were you doing?
When I was in Khartoum, I forgot about this. The quartermaster marched me into the CO's office to re-engage, as he thought I would do. And I said no. He'd written it all out for me to re-engage for another 5 years. He didn't want me to leave him. I must have been a decent chap, like, because he used to pinch my cigarettes. I used to have cigarettes. I didn't smoke any, two or three a day, but he always helped himself to my fags, the quartermaster. Nice chap, Pearson. And, I came, but anyway, I got my trilby hat, and...
Why wouldn't you re-enlist? Why wouldn't you re-enlist?
Why wouldn't I?
Re-enlist. Why wouldn't you?
Oh, when my mother was in dire straits. It was. I'll come out of the army, I said, and I'll get a job and help her.
She, poverty?
That's right. That's what I was on about the means test.
Yeah, I
remember. You know.
Now, what were you doing for the last 3 months then at Woking?
Oh, I didn't stop there. We came straight home. Then what due for practice, we went home. We had 3 months, something like that. You know,
leave.
That's right. Yeah.
So you just checked in at Woking.
That's right. Yeah. And the quartermaster saw me leaving. He shook hands with me and he says, "I'll see you again." He did. 39. When the war broke out. Yeah. Was he? Yeah. And anyway, I came. Well,
what happened when you came back then?
Well, I was with some of my friends, and we got to London, and we stopped at London all night before we got the train, like. Had a good time. You know, just all the trolleys and people said, "Look at these," you know, but we were back from England, like, you know, it was strange. And I went straight up to Sunderland, to my mother's house. And as I say, the means test man came. And that was terrible, that was. And I had a cousin lived up the road here. He made a Warsaw girl and asked me down for a few days with him, and I came down and I stopped. It was a nice town then. You know, they had the trolley buses here, trolleys. The trolleys used to run to Wolverhampton, and, you know, I liked it.
And what job were you planning to get? Because it's not that easy to get a job, so, you know.
Storekeeper. Because... My reference, I've got a good reference there. I'd make a good storekeeper, honest and everything, a good man. It's in my discharge book. Well, I was hoping for a job.
So you looked for a job in Walsall then?
Yeah. Here's a funny thing. I know. I went up the Labour Exchange, up a place called Bloxwich. It's part of Walsall. I went in there, and the manager was sitting there with his head in his hands. Nobody else here. Come up, he says, after work? I says, yeah. There's nothing doing. I says, well, I'll do anything. Anything. Any job to get me back into TV life, you know. And I was in civvies, dressed in civvies like. And I was walking towards the door, going out. He said, "Come back tomorrow next week," you know. Anyway, he called me back. He said, "You did say anything?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "Meet tonight here at 7 o'clock up there. Meet him." Okay. So I was up there at 7. He had a car, a little Ford T, and jumped in. He took me down to a car park in Laymore. This is practically Laymore where we live now. And he took me across to the cinema that only just opened, called the Rosam. He took me up to my horse. He says, "Good, he's taking me to the pictures, this fella." I got a bit worried, you know. And up the manager's office and went in there, knocked on the door, come in. And he was a big fat manager. He used to be a shop walker for big stores in Leeds before he got the job at the cinema. Rosam. It was named after two men, Mr. Roberts and Mr. Summers. R O for Roberts, S U M for Summers, Rosam. And there's three quarters of the people who also don't know that, but anyway, that was it. And he says, "No, he's too small." He says, "Look at him, kind of brute, you know, brute tanned and young soldier like, you know." Then the manager said, "Go on, look at him. That's what you want." And he said, "I'll take him on for a month." And I got the job. A fella come from Bond Street and measured me up for a green tunic and gold brides and that. I was back in the army again. And I was to stand outside, you know, all seats gone, you know, and standing room on the upstairs and all that bunkum like. Little me, there was fellas out. Tell them, keep moving, please, you know. I enjoyed it and I met the missus then. That's what I meant there. Catch of the season, I was. Nah, she's all right. And I chatted her up and nice, you know, she used to keep coming at every Thursday. And after a while, he took me down to my mother's and my dad. He was an old soldier. He was at Mons. I've got his medals upstairs. He was on the Mons retreat. No, territorial. He's got the long service medal as well. Billy. Della. He died. He was 86 when he died. And my wife seen him in bed dead. Because, you know, she used to clean up for him and that, you know. And our mother came out to hospital. She had been in hospital and all. And my wife, she used to look after her dad, got to the hospital, look after her mother. I was in hospital, just, and my second son born, he was born with three holes in his heart.
That's after the war, though. Now, you'd settled into this job as a cinema.
Oh, yes.
As a commissioner, or whatever you call them.
Doorman,
yeah, whatever. Yeah. And how long were you doing that for, then?
Oh, not long. Few months. Then I went to a factory at a place called Wood Green, Weddensfield, was it? Darlison, where they make it Speeman Jackson, they call it now. I forget the name of it. Elwells. Elwells was, I was grinding tools, I didn't like it. And I used to go there on a bike, because we all had bikes in them days, you know. And the fogs. Oh, this town of fog. I went one morning, pitch black, and a fella bumped into me. I said, "Mate," I said, "Where's Elwells?" He says, "He's standing in front of the door." "Just that thick." And then I went on the buses after. I think it was. Yeah, I went on the buses.
As a conductor?
Yeah, only on single deckers, like, you know. I didn't have any clam to do. And when the war broke out, of course.
What about the Thomas conductor? How did it go? I mean, how was that compared to military life?
Well, I just felt the same, like, you know, to pass up the bus. I mean, you know, you just...
Well, did you not find it a bit dull after India and the Sudan?
Yeah, it was, just punching tickets. Yeah, but...
Did you ever think of re-enlisting?
Well, I couldn't, you see. I was married. I was married, you see. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't get married. I was married in 39, in May.
Did you see that war was approaching? Could you see that war was approaching?
Well, there was news of it, about what Hitler was doing, the Anschluss, Austria and all that, you know. Czechoslovakia, about 38, giant blimp we've got to pay something. That's a lot of bulk, and that is. Well, as I say, I was called up on the 15th of June.
And in what way? Was that mobilisation? What?
No, they called the reservists, most reservists, so 15th of June, to learn the brain gun and the anti-tank rifle, the boys.
Where did you have to go?
Woking, back to the barracks again.
Was the regiment still there?
Yeah.
And how was it being back with them?
Oh, great, old soldier. Because a lot of young lads there, I didn't know, he's an old soldier. That was funny, like, we're all reservists, like, and, oh, granddads. I mean, how old was I?
You'd be about 29. Yeah. Okay. But you were old then, were you, to them?
Yeah. I'd say life, I've been abroad, hadn't I? In your farm, you know, and I should tell the kids about life and all that.
And what about the Bren gun? What did you think of it? I mean, you'd been a Vickers man. What did you think of the Bren?
It was a good gun. I liked it. It was light. It wasn't heavy. You know, it was easy to handle. Yeah, I liked it, yeah.
Was there any problems with it?
No. Oh, now I remember it all. we marched out into a field just outside Woking, you know, the barracks like. And we had gas capes. The gas capes would come out. And we had to sit on the, pardon me, we had to sit on the ground and put a little litmus paper, in front of us. We were told, and we had to put the gas capes right over our body. I think they were trying them out anyway. We put the gas capes over, and they were told if that paper changed red, there was two planes came over, and I think they were dropping mustard gas. Very low, spraying us, hips. And if that paper changed colour, we had to be MO room. Yeah. And by a brigadier.
And did it turn red? No.
Happened. No, mine didn't. A brigadier, yeah. Yeah.
Mustard
caps out, these gas caps. Yeah. Two planes, yeah. The people of course there.
Why not?
But when the war broke out, they were giving us apples and oranges and biscuits.
Why didn't they? Like it? In what way?
You could tell that there is in this area, Woking. I'm talking about the
town or anything like that.
Stamina, I guess, on the 3-inch mouse, nothing in life in Catrick. All is back to the depot. Right? And, no.